Sacramento. 3-on-1. Bagley the step. Bagley with the dunk. And you can put it in the book and send it to the left.
There it is. Buddy Hield alone at the top of the Kings record book.
Oh, I like to see Fox Force 5 in the open court.
Fox into the lane. Oh, if you don't like that, you don't like Kings basketball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Kings Pulse Podcast. My name is Brendan Nunez. Got Rich Ivanowski on here, as we always do. What's going on, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Brendan. I'm really enjoying doing these draft previews. So I'm having a ball, honestly.
You know, I'm having way more fun with these than I thought I was going to be honest. Like, this is my first year really diving into this, and I think I'm gonna have to get into this more every year.
We gotta become members of Draft Twitter event. Like, over the next couple of years, we just gotta be draft guys.
I'm willing. I'm totally down. It helps you just learn like specific player skill sets too, since you're so focused on one guy compared to as a team.
Yeah, I think like it's so much of it is like video breakdowns too. So you learn a lot about the finer points of the game as well. When you hear about a struggle of one guy and you're like, well, you know, how serious is this? And then there's like an hour of tape on it. That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. And yeah, all those guys that are part of Draft Twitter and some of the bigger names, obviously Sam Vecenie and everything, do a great job with all their work and being able to read through all those and their varying takes and taking bits and pieces from certain arguments here and there. I've definitely had a good time doing it. And today we got two of the bigs in the draft. We got Onyeka Okongwu from USC, and we got Obadiah Toppin from Dayton.
Obadiah. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I tried to divide this draft class into similar-ish guys and did that mostly by position and size, wingspan and height especially. But, yeah, and these guys are very similar in terms of their position, their size, but they are very, very opposite players in a lot of ways.
Very different players. Last time we did Vassell and Okoro, and we did them kind of side by side for one of the first, I think the first time we've done that. And I think this is another one where we probably do them separately, 1-on-1, and then we can obviously compare them throughout.
Yeah, I think we can use the other one as a reference point a lot, but we will have to separate the discussion a lot more.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel with starting with Obi? Because I personally have a bit more to say on Onyeka. So I think we could save that for the second one.
Yeah, I think that Toppin is more of like an open and shut case. Like, we know a little more about him, what he's going to be. I think his floor and ceiling are a little more established. So I'm down for that.
All right. And yeah, just to go into the basics of Obi Toppin, like we said, from Dayton, one of the smaller schools, obviously, he was the consensus national player of the year. He is 21 years old, so he's obviously on the older side here. 6'9 height with a 6'11 wingspan, and really just an all-around offensive player. And some of the just physical comparisons, I see a little bit of like a Aaron Gordon or John Collins sort of body to him. And the athleticism, obviously, is huge with Obi Toppin as well, comparable to those guys.
Yeah, John Collins and Aaron Gordon are really good examples. I mean, he's a four, you know what I mean? Like, and honestly, in the NBA right now, there are less and less fours every year, I feel like. Even you see John Collins being, it seems like, was going to be forced to be a five before Clint Capela went to the Hawks. And now there's some question of, you know, does he have enough stretch to his game to play the four? And it fits as well because Collins and Gordon both can shoot it, but they can't. It's not, but it's by no means a calling card. But it's like in their tool bag, which is important. And it's similar to Toppin here, where, you know, is not going to give you a lot of volume, but definitely was impressive. 39% from three this season on 2.6 attempts per game, which is, you know, like functional, right? Like it's a functional skill.
Yeah, very much so. And you see him kind of doing it from all aspects. He's definitely a ball in his hands type of guy. You had 20 points per game here from him on obviously a team where he was everything for them, but 7.5 rebounds. There's some nice passing to him as well, even though that's not one of his key skills. He was able to flash that at times. I was really surprised, like, the versatility of his offense. You see him faking dribble handoffs and occasionally some Euro steps, and he's more agile in a way than you would think on the offensive end, just from sort of looking at him.
Yeah, I definitely noticed how he's got a very odd body type. He's like very triangular. Like, he's big and broad up top, and then his legs get pretty skinny. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that helps with the agility. His legs move very quickly. He can kind of squeeze through players. I think, like, that can help in some ways, but also it's going to hurt him defensively when he's going to try to defend even forwards. But, like, certainly I think defending fives would be a real issue for him.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to hold off on the defense for now because I think the offense is obviously the main part of him here, and the defense will be a knock. But, yeah, there's a lot of – I mean, a majority, Synergy has 25% of the time he was working out of the post. Like I said, there was some impressive vision out of there, but he has these nice half spins moving the other direction or full spinning, and there's times where he just decides to rise over guys because he has absolutely ridiculous athleticism that you're going to see that also really benefits him in transition and as a role man. There were some decent decisions in a short role, even though that's not where I'm the most comfortable with him, but he really takes advantage of this absolutely ridiculous athleticism where he's flying through the air and has some really nice finishing. I mean, to be in the 98th percentile of finishing around the basket, 76%, that it's absolutely ridiculous. And like you mentioned, there is a jump shot to him as well. You get some, like you said, 39% from three. He's not doing it off the dribble, but he is off the catch, a very good catch and shoot shooter as well.
Yeah, and I think from what I saw, I was not in love with the playmaking. Like, I think that it's like a functional thing mm-hmm. he's got in his toolbox. But, like, at the same time, I wonder that, like, translating that to the NBA, I think what that's going to end up becoming is that he's not going to make a lot of mistakes. But I don't think he's going to be a flashy playmaker, or he's certainly not going to rack up a bunch of assists. Or I just think he's going to make the smart play, and I think that's pretty much where it ends playmaking-wise.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think he's a primary or a secondary initiator for a team or anything like that. I think you're definitely rolling to the basket with him preferably, and then also he can pop out when you need him to and space the floor. I do have some questions on how effective he's going to be just off the ball in like a lower usage situation. If we're talking Sacramento, obviously. I don't think that you have the ball in his hands a ridiculous amount of time, like obviously you were seeing at Dayton, and I question how much of an impact he can have off the ball.
Definitely. I think that this is like an open and shut situation where Obi Toppin is meant to go to a team that just has a gaping hole at the four. Like, that's like a guy that you want to plug into the four and you need a weapon, and he's going to be your weapon. Like Golden State, I'm looking down a list here of Detroit, yeah. New York, maybe if Randall goes. Like a team that just Charlotte, maybe. There's a team that like can take on a high usage offensively focused big man.
Yeah, definitely. And you don't think Sacramento's that team, right? Like the pairing, say with Bagley, right?
No, I don't. I don't think that he's a good fit for Sacramento. And I actually wanted to ask you, I wanted to get into defense as well here, but maybe we can use this as a transition into that. I want to ask you how you think he compares to Marvin Bagley, because for the most part, I do see some similarity.
I hadn't thought of them comparatively all too much. I see where you're coming from. Obviously, the ridiculous athleticism and as a role man. obviously, I think there is more shooting here, and Obi just is more efficient. Bagley has a lot of fine-tuning to his game to do, and Obi just being an older player, I think understands his spots and when to take his shots better than Bagley. But athletically and like the type of player they are, if Bagley had a reliable jumper, which is a big if, I think they are pretty similar here. Are you thinking the same thing?
I think they're kind of redundant, like to the point where you couldn't use, assuming that you would have to maybe, assuming the Kings would have to move up to get him, you can't really use two top five picks on that same type of like offensive four. Where again, like we were hoping that Bagley turns into a five, but it's just like this, he's kind of like Marvin Bagley with less athletic upside, not even that much less. It's similar. Like he's Marvin Bagley with like a little lower of a ceiling, but a little bit better passing and shooting.
Yeah. And while he is able to shoot, that's not where you want to pigeonhole him in on offense. It's just if that's available, if you're not focusing on him, then sure, he's able to hit that off the catch, but you definitely want to be using him as a role man the same way that you talk about Marvin Bagley. So yeah, I would agree. I don't think they work great offensively together, and defensively, this is a nightmare.
Oh, defensively, it would never work. And I mean, I don't even think they could play like next to each other, really. Like, I think they're too similar of position to, I don't know that you could put Bagley and Toppin out there together in any circumstance. I guess if Bagley bulks up a little bit and does become a center, if he improves his shot blocking, maybe it works, but there's not enough passing there. There's not enough shooting there, where there's not enough space there. It's too much usage between the two big men. I think you kind of need one of your big men to be more of a lower usage guy, and both these guys would want the ball constantly.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're definitely not effectively using the both of them. I think you could get some minutes, but you're right. You would definitely be limiting the both of them. And then, yeah, if we're talking the defense, I mean, Obi is just terrifying when you're talking about guarding a pick and roll the same way that you see Bagley. And like, I guess at times he's able to do some weak side defense because of his ridiculous athleticism. But the timing's not too inspiring. His lateral quickness is rough. He bites on pump fakes. So yeah, I mean, defensively, I don't really know honestly how Obi's a positive in any way. Is that too harsh?
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to straight up be a turnstile. I think he's going to be a smart player, coachable player, an effort guy, but I think he's going to get run over on defense constantly.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those sort of high floor guys, right? Because he's older, like we mentioned, you just know what you're getting with Obi, right? There's not too much improvement, but there's also not that much downside.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what I just looked it up. How do you think his age compares to Marvin Bagley? Like, what? Like, who do you think is older by how much?
Is Obi? Well, let's see. Obi is what, older by maybe a couple months?
He's almost exactly 1 year older than Marvin Bagley.
Okay, that's pretty significant. Yeah,
it is, considering Bagley's had 2 years in the pros already.
Right. Yeah, I definitely, it, just in general, in regards to the fit for Sacramento, and I'm skeptical on how much you want to base what you're doing and building around Marvin Bagley. But even with just what Obi is with Bagley, without Bagley, Sacramento has enough usage guys, even if you're not including Bagley, when you look at Fox, Bogey, Buddy, that I'm just not all that interested in Obi. I think if there was a situation where he's a clear best player when Sacramento's picking, say they moved up to four, and I don't even think if they did move up to four that Obi is the best guy there. I'm just not all that interested in Obi coming to Sacramento is kind of what I'm saying here.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I just think you've kind of, if this is the type of player you want, you've kind of got a higher ceiling version of that guy already on your team in Marvin Bagley.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know how much Obi, I think he kind of, if you were talking about his role on like a championship team in a way, he'd probably have to be a bench high usage four, I would think.
I agree. And I think that's a pretty safe floor for him, like a scoring spark plug energy big.
Yeah, I think so. What else do you want to touch on with him?
I figured maybe we could end the each player. We could do like a ceiling and floor. We just did a floor for him. Ceiling, I mean, is this ceiling like Aaron Gordon?
Well, Aaron Gordon is much better defensively to me.
Right.
I think it might be what you've seen John Collins do this year. Like, John Collins has become ridiculously efficient this year, and he only played 41 games because of his suspension, but 40% from three on like 3.5 attempts, 58% from the field. I think that you could see some of that with more post-up game.
Yeah, maybe Collins with a little more of an on-ball acumen, a little more passing.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Gordon with maybe a little lower defense. I mean, if we're doing true ceiling, I could see your argument being like, if everything works out, he's taught how to defend. But I still don't think you could get quite to Aaron Gordon level, but like close.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And as much like I do think that Sacramento should sort of look towards these high floor guys, just because the high ceiling guys in this draft also have really low floors. And I don't know how much they can really handle another bust, to be honest. Aside from, well, we'll get to our entire ranking of the guys that we've gone through at the end here. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. If you're missing the NFL, it's no problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Moving on to Onyeka, who is, like we said, from USC. I have 6'9", 245 pounds. Obviously, things vary a little bit there, but that's about what you're seeing him at with a 7-foot wingspan. He is a center, although he played a lot of four at USC, so we'll get into that a little bit. 18 years old. He actually played at Chino Hills when Lonzo was a senior. Onyeka was a freshman. I watched the Mike Schmitz watching film together with Onyeka, and he's very soft-spoken, and he was saying how he's best friends with LaMelo, actually. They're talking every single day. But I am very interested in what Onyeka's bringing here. It's all coming on the defensive end. And just to give an idea, his physical comp in regards to the body that we're looking at is really similar to a player on Sacramento's roster in Rashawn Holmes.
That's fascinating. I was going to say, like, the first comp that came to my mind is, like, a likable Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of the size, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And obviously defensive-minded. And you could see that, like, in a scenario where, you know, he really was in a situation to be allowed to shoot as much as he wants, that maybe he'd come around to, like, 33% situation, maybe. Not that there's any reason to believe that, just that the form looks all right in theory.
Yeah, there's promise, albeit on super low volume. I believe it was like 4 threes he shot all year in college and didn't sink one of them. He shot it a little bit in high school. So, yeah, I mean, and the free throw percentage is somewhat inspiring. I mean, you see a 72%, and comparatively, like Holmes, you're talking about is 80%. And I guess, you know, there's some thought that maybe Holmes could step to the 3-point line. He did it a little bit second year. But yeah, I think that we can start with the defense here. That's where you're going to see most of Onyeka's value. he thinks he can guard 1 to 5. I think you'll get away with some minutes at the 1 and 2, maybe in a switch situation. But really, he is an elite rim protector, is the main thing that I feel like you're getting from Onyeka here. Around the rim for oppositions, shot 31% this year. According to Synergy, absolutely wow. Ridiculous.
That's absurd.
His timing is insane. And that, I think that's one of the, I probably shouldn't get into the Holmes comp all too much, but I do kind of feel he is just a much better Holmes. Like, he's filling this same role to me. And Holmes, a lot of the defense you saw this year, and obviously Sacramento was the worst team in regards to opponent field goal percentage at the rim. So this is a major concern for the Kings. Holmes helped a lot in that, but a lot of it felt like he was able to do that because of his athleticism, and the timing wasn't great. You saw that with fouls. Not the case with Onyeka. His feel is ridiculous, and his timing is amazing on these blocks.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't see any holes at all in his defensive game, really. Like, he's really strong on pick and rolls. He's really strong on the perimeter for a guy his size, to be sure. Definitely with the rim protection, like you mentioned. It's one thing they talked about in the Schmitz video, they talked about how he's not very vocal. So, like, that's maybe one thing he needs to improve on defensively. But aside from that, the best defensive big in this draft, I think, is safe to say. Even if we're talking about Wiseman with a 7'6 wingspan, I still feel like the feel trumps that.
Yeah, I do too. And especially if we're talking about switchability here. Now the concern would be his size, being listed at 6'8 is what Vecini has here. I've seen all the way to 6'9.5. We've also mentioned a little bit that, maybe these guys grow a bit. But how much is the NBA transitioning to, like, this year? I've said multiple times, like, I thought Bam Adebayo is becoming what you're kind of seeing as a perfect center, and that's about this size. You're talking Draymond Green, PJ Tucker's playing minutes at the center. So while there are matchups that would give him some issues, I think that the size is... there are reasons to be concerned, but I don't think that's going to hold him back from still being, I don't know if it's elite rim protection in the NBA, but it is going to be very good rim protection.
I'm really not tripping. We're on the same page, honestly, like on both of these guys. I think that the size is pretty much a non-issue. Like you said, pretty close to Rashawn Holmes' size. He, is 19. Won't turn 20 until the end of the year, until December. I think that there's a chance it could grow a little bit. I know Bryant is going to recoil every time I say that for some reason, but the kid's 19. Like, I think that he could grow a little bit. And even if he doesn't, 6'9 is a totally fine size for a center. Like you said, there's going to be matchup problems. That's fine. I mean, outside of Carl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid, who is going to, like, kill him?
Yeah, like, if you look at the division the Kings are in, I guess, like, Anthony Davis, you might be I don't know. He could get away with minutes on Anthony Davis. I don't know. Like,
if he's going to do a better job than anyone else on the team, right?
Right, right. And if you're talking Zubac or Harrell, I have no issues. I think he's fine against DeAndre Ayton, even though he's a little bit stronger there. Aside from those two guys that you mentioned that are giving anybody issues, really – I think he's totally fine on the defensive end in regards to this size. I don't really have worries there. You mentioned, the defense is just great in every way that you're getting from him. Help side, rim protection. If you're in a pick and roll, he can cover it in any way possible. If you want him to switch, if you want him to hedge, if you want him to drop, he's doing whatever you want in a pick and roll defense here. I don't know how much else there is really to say on Onyeka. I am extremely high on him defensively, and I think that that is something that Sacramento could use so much, because obviously we talk about the struggles of Buddy. If you want to talk about Bielitsa and Bagley, I do like Fox as a defender. I think he's a little bit more of an off-ball playmaker rather than an on-ball guy. I think guys get past him a little bit, but Sacramento desperately needs an anchor. And Onyeka has the potential to be that. I think it's safe to say that he will be that.
He'll be the defensive anchor for whatever team that, yeah, whatever team drafts him. I believe that too. And, you know, I don't know. We're maybe a bit bullish on him because I think if we're going to talk about his floor, maybe he can't be the best defender on a good team, like if we're talking a floor. But I think an average outcome is like...
I think he could be a starting center on a championship team, though.
Yes. Is that more ceiling?
Probably, yeah. And I think a lot of the fluctuation with his floor ceiling is going to be on the offensive end.
Yeah. And I would also say that I think that the Kings have this glaring need for guys that can guard forwards, right? So we talked about this with Denny. We talked about this with Okoro. We talked about this with Vassell. There's just this crazy need for anyone that could guard like one of those versatile forwards that are going to, you know, terrorize the league for – that have been terrorizing the league, will continue to terrorize the league, your LeBrons, your Kawhis, your Paul Georges, those types of guys. And honestly, I think that Okongwu can do that for the Kings if they couldn't find a forward that they liked. If those three guys I mentioned were off the board, I think Okongwu has the ability to defend Kawhi. You know, he's not going to shut him down or anything, but because he can slide down like that, because he can switch, because he's quick on the perimeter, it's like he's a big man, but he also has that sort of forward defense versatility.
Yeah. Would you think as like his primary assignment that he could cover those guys?
So like a team like the Clippers, right? Mm-hmm. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in the starting lineup, who would you put on them as the Kings exist today?
Yeah. So it's Harrison Barnes and then.
And Nolan. Right.
Yeah.
So right. Like that's where I'm saying like you could put Barnes on George and Onyeka on Kawhi and at least like you could make that argument.
Right. Yeah, I think that, yeah, teams that have two of them like that, I think I'd prefer him as, you know, off ball and helping Barnes if we're talking a team that said only had one of those guys. But yeah, I do think that he instantly does become your second option, if not maybe your first, if he shows some capabilities there at covering those type of guys. Because while he is a big and I view him as a center, he kind of moves like a wing. He moves really well. And he gets off the floor. By the way, part of these blocks, like he gets off the floor really fast. I don't know how familiar our listeners are going to be, but like it's somewhat comparable to Brandon Clark, who we saw on last draft.
Oh, I love that. I love that comp. And I also think that we didn't give him fair shake on the offense. Like we got right into his defense and never got out of it, I don't think. But no, I mean, he's a really strong pick and roll rim runner type of big man, I think. I mean, the guy had 16 points a game in a pretty decent conference, you know. So, yeah, I like his offensive game too. It's extremely limited. We know, like, it's traditional big man offense pretty much. But it's nice.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, if we were talking the fit with Bagley, I don't know how I feel. A lot of his games out of the post, and it's not exactly the low post, though. It's pretty extended, and the playmaking is not great. I don't have it exactly in front of me, but I believe it's a double the amount of turnovers compared to his assists, but he also just was the only guy on this USC team, really. I have more faith in his passing than that, even though I don't think he's a, you know, again, I think maybe he's your third playmaker on that end or initiator in that sort of way. But in regards to this post-ups, I think that it's a bailout for the Kings, and I think that they really need that sometimes in this half-court offense, because when you're talking full court, when you're in transition, Onyeka's not going to have any issues. He's, like you're saying, he's running the floor. He's hustling. There's never an issue with him being one of the first guys down. Fills the lanes well. But in a half court, if you need someone to to bail you out, I think you kind of can go to him in the post. And that's the time where I would see that being an option, since I don't think it should be how you are like starting a play. Like, that is your number one option. But I think it can be a nice bailout. He has really good touch with both hands, somewhat similar to Holmes as well. You know, you see these little bit of push shots, except it's not push shots for Onyeka. It's more hooks in a way. But yeah, traditionally you're pretty much going to be using him as a role man here. You see a little stuff out of the short roll and things like that. But I do think that him and Bagley together on offense would cause some issues. What do you think with that pairing?
You're definitely right. Who do you think is the better fit next to Bagley between Onyeka and Obi?
I'm taking Onyeka every time because I just think the defense is such an issue for Bagley.
So yeah, that's where I would agree. Like, I think that Toppin is a much better fit next to Bagley on offense because he can shoot. Mm-hmm. And Okongwu is a much better pairing with Bagley on defense because he can defend. But then you have to look at the type and, like, would you rather have your two best big men be offensive minded, or would you rather have like kind of one guy you could bring on for defensive matchups and one guy that you can run just to like score? I think that at least you're like, you've got a little more diversity on your roster there.
Yeah. And like you said, I think there's, you know, there's a theory that Onyeka could space the floor somewhat. When you saw him face up, it was just to go to a spin move and kind of do a nice little finish around the rim. But my other question I'll throw your way for him is, I mean, he's getting projected really high. Like, Draft Twitter has him extremely high. I know Jackson Frank, friend of the pod, has him second behind Killian Hayes.
Yeah, Bryant West, friend of the pod, has him second as well.
Yes, I've seen that. Sam Vecenie had him mocked at 4. And the quote for him is, I'd peg Okongwu's draft range from 4 down to about 12 at this early stage. Hey, what do you know? Big Board had him at 6. And yeah, comparatively for Toppin, Vecenie's mock was 5, with the quote on his range being, the defensive worries do give him a wider range than you think. Think more in the top 10 as opposed to top 5. So interestingly, I mean, I'm higher on Yeka. It sounds like you're the same. And I guess it sounds like if you're talking the range that he could be available a little later, even though I do doubt it. To me, this is a guy that Sacramento would have to either trade up for or be lucky enough to fall into that top 4. And my question is, like, how comfortable are you taking a guy that's a rim running center, a defensive rim running center, as a top 4 pick when that's really the league's most replaceable position?
So, okay. A couple things. Just to give a little more perspective on the rankings. Vecenie on the big board had Toppin 4 and Okongwu 6, and the Ringer has Okongwu 5 and Toppin all the way down at 11.
Oh, wow.
So I think we're more in that camp with the Ringer's rating. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, you know, that type of player, that position of player is the most replaceable, but the skill set of a versatile big defender, really highly switchable, that actually isn't replaceable, I don't think. Like the Alex Lenz of the world are who you can get. You cannot get the Draymond Green, Onyeka Okongwu type defensive minded players.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I feel the same way. I feel like that he's a decent enough upgrade over the generally replacement level guys that you kind of mentioned there, that I don't have too much of an issue with it either. I did understand, like, when that question was first posed, I kind of saw it, but yeah, diving into it more, I'd agree with you there. Yeah, I mean, you look at games. I mean, who is averaging, and he probably not doing this in the NBA, but his per 40 minutes, he's averaging 3.5 blocks. He's getting some nice steals, and he gets these steals and is able to put it on the floor, finishing himself. He had 8 blocks in a single game. Another one was 7. I mean, this is like a really special level defender that you're talking about. And how many times this year did we say, where would the Kings be if they didn't have Rashawn Holmes? And this is a clear upgrade at that same position and filling that same role.
I think that's true. I mean, it's not a guaranteed upgrade because, you know, he's a rookie. So like bad things can happen. Guys can not pan out.
Yeah.
But if like the theory holds and if he becomes what we think he'll be, he will be. I didn't think of that comp, and now that I've seen it, I can't unsee it. And you're absolutely right. It's like Rashawn Holmes with even more defensive upside.
Guys, looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, and even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. BlueChew's online physician is free of cost, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. All you gotta do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE to get your first order free.
And so, yeah, to answer the question about pick four, and we're assuming that LaMelo, you know, we're assuming that Edwards is off the board, LaMelo is off the board, and maybe Wiseman probably are the most likely top three. I would consider Okongwu, and I would consider Vassell. And that's probably the only guys we've talked about that I would consider. I think we got to get into Hayes and Halliburton on the next episode. And those are other guys I might consider. I have to look into them a little more. But I would consider it. Ultimately, I believe that I would trade down or try to.
Okay.
I would consider it.
I think it'd be hard for me to not take Okongwu. Like, and maybe I just, you know, we do these and the entire day during this, I'm like spent watching these guys' films. So I came into like the Vassell at Okoro one super hyped on these guys. And the Okongwu one, like, maybe I'm crazy, but like, I think there's an argument that you could take him if you had the number one pick. Like, I have to formulate this more. And I was debating if I was going to drop that, but like, I think there's an argument, and I still like, when I thought this through, obviously it's him or Edwards. And like, I think you just take Edwards because he's the only guy that could be a superstar in this draft is how I feel. But I don't know. Like, I think we're talking ceiling for Onyeka. Like, I mean, he could be a defensive player of the year.
I am going to stop you there. You cannot take a player who is almost guaranteed to have no superstar upside and almost guaranteed to not be an above average offensive player at one. Like, think about the best defensive players ever.
Yeah.
There's only a handful that you could have ever considered at one. And I don't think Okongwu fits that bill.
That's fair. Okay, so I guess the better wording would be I'd have him one on my board, because you're right. Picking him as the first pick would be questionable, and that's a situation where you're right, you would trade down.
I mean, do you agree that he just cannot be a superstar?
Yeah, I don't think he's a superstar. I think he could be an elite role player, but that's pretty much it.
Right, and you just can't spend the first pick on an elite role player.
That's fair. So you're right. The wording should be, I think there's an argument for number one on my board, even though I'd have Edwards over him. Do you want to do this 1-8 on the guys we've gone through?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. So I revealed my 1-2. I still have Edwards 1, but I have Edwards 1 on Onyeka 2.
So I want to kind of do it a little more realistically to how I would pick. So what I'm going to say is Edwards 1. At 2, I would pick LaMelo Ball, and I'd trade that. I'd trade the rights.
Okay. Okay.
Does that add up as like what I'm like? Because I just can't. At 2, I would see too much trade value in LaMelo than taking a guy that I wouldn't even feel great about at 4 necessarily.
I see where you're coming from with that. Yeah. I think, yeah, that makes sense to me. And then, okay. Yeah. And then what do you feel with 3?
I need to talk this through with you, but I also think I might do the same thing with Wiseman at 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wonder, like, I'm so unsure on what his trade value really is. Like, where we see him ranked seems to fluctuate. I guess from the guys like Vecini who really have the insider knowledge, he still does sit up there. So he probably does have that value, and I think that's fair, yeah.
I think it's important to make that delineation between draft Twitter and NBA front offices.
Yeah.
They will see a guy that was the number one high school recruit, number one college recruit, and as a like a 9'6" standing reach.
Right. These physical tools really get the NBA and, teams, understandably.
Yeah. And he will not fall out of the top five, I would think. Maybe, like, I mean, there's just too many teams that would love him. Like, maybe if a certain lottery sequence went down, like where Golden State was not in the top five, some way they can't get out of the top five. So, yeah, no. I mean, maybe if Golden State prefers Toppin, they could somehow.
Yeah, but Cleveland's maybe taking him. Cleveland's taking highest upside. Same with Detroit. I think Minnesota, like, weirdly has an argument.
Charlotte would love Wiseman. Yeah. Like, so, like, the lowest you could. I mean, there's no way you can't get a top 10 pick for Wiseman.
Yeah, that's fair.
And something significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that with Wiseman there, three. So tell me who you have four then here, because I did it a little differently in regards to just my order of who I would prefer the Kings to pick.
All right, so who do we have here? We got Okongwu and Toppin. We've got Denny, Okoro, mm-hmm. Vassell.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay.
And we went Edwards 1, trading LaMelo 2, trading Wiseman 3.
This is the real question, right? And, like, I don't know what the exact odds are that the Kings end up at the 4 spot. Probably not great. Like, probably, like, 2%. So maybe we don't need to labor over this. But I think it's also the most interesting place they could land, where I think you do – you know what you're doing at 1.
Yeah.
At the 2-3, you definitely trade down. And then at the 4 – you probably trade down also.
If you're picking, like, is it because Vassell, like, so the two guys, like, I would want the Kings to pick would be Onyeka or Vassell in regards to who I want on their roster. But Vassell seems like a guy that would be there later, right?
Well, like I mentioned before, these are the two guys that we've gone over so far that I would consider. And I'm interested to get into Halbert and Hayes as well, so that I can really feel like. So I feel like there's some potential for Halliburton to go at 4 or 5, and maybe if you trade out of that, you don't get to look at him. But of what we got so far, this is Onyeka versus Vassell.
Yeah, and I think I take Onyeka here at the 4. I think this rim protection and Sacramento needing that defensive anchor is a really big deal to me. I think that he instantly raises your defensive floor extremely and makes guys like Fox and Corey Joseph look a lot better, and Harrison Barnes as well. I'm going to slide Onyeka here at the 4, with the Kings keeping the 4th.
I think that I'm going to go Vassell.
Wow. Just straight up taking Vassell.
I mean, either way, I think trading down would be the way to go. So,
okay.
In my order of preference, I'd still would probably trade down. And then if I had to choose between the rest of those 5 guys, I think I would take Vassell. And it's just because I don't know that there's a huge difference in talent between Vassell and Onyeka. And I think that there is a significant fit problem with Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, on the offensive end, I see that.
Well, on the offensive end, it's punching you in the face. Like, on the defensive end, it's like that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no way to not see an offensive issue there.
Right, right. I get where you're coming from there. I don't know. Like, Vassell,
set aside shooting for a second. Like, just think about ball movement.
Yeah, I think Onyeka, right, because mainly Onyeka's operating, like, in a post or as a role man, and Bagley, if he's not the role man, I don't know what he's doing on offense, nothing inspiring. I do see where you're coming from here. Like, I have a bit more questions with Vassell's defense that I just need to get into on my own. Like, he does lack a little bit of size, and I don't know, he is a playmaker on that end. I see the fit better.
I'm not trying to like argue to.
No, it's interesting.
Make you come around. Like, I'm not trying to like force you to agree with me or anything. I think it's totally fine if we have a difference here.
Yeah, no, but I see where you're coming from, because those are the two guys that are. I mean, they're neck and neck. I just lean on Onyeka because I think that Sacramento needs that defensive anchor.
Yeah, and I lean Vassell because if you are trying to build a team around the core pieces, I don't think that a team works with a court with Bagley and Okongwu as core pieces. Where,
yeah,
like if you do Fox, Vassell, Bagley, you know, you keep Buddy and Bogey around, or at least one of them. Keep Barnes around for a while. Maybe you find a stretch four down the line.
Yeah,
and I think that works.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. But yeah, that's who I'd have. I would put Onyeka a little bit above him there. And then, yeah, if we were talking after four, Sacramento would be picking at 12 there. The next guy you would have, like if Onyeka was there at 12, you would take him, right? And if Vassell was there at 12, I would obviously take him.
I honestly might consider, I'm going to think about Okoro. Oh, are you saying 12? 12, I mean, any of these guys. Like, I feel like no more than one of these guys would be there, right?
Right. Well, yeah, like compared to the guys that we've talked on, like say at 12, it's not realistic, but if you, who would you prefer to be taking of, yeah, like of the guys we talked about? You took Vassell off, so Okongwu, Denny, Okoro. That's all we have left. Toppin.
I mean, I don't want to like make this super messy, but I might just take Okoro at four and trade him, trade down. Like, as I feel like someone's going to want Okoro.
He screams Atlanta, even though like the fit doesn't make sense to me, because like to me, they should prefer Vassell for the same reasons that Sacramento should. It just like seems like he's getting mocked to him by Vassini. And you see Chris Kirshner interviewing the head coach of Auburn. Like I feel like it's probably going to be Atlanta. Yeah, he's probably going to be going somewhere. I see Okoro as being pretty high up there.
Yeah, and imagine it's like if one team jumps, if the Kings jump and no one else does, then it's the Hawks at five. And you just trade.
Yeah.
You let them trade up one spot and you take them for all they're worth. Like, you get the five,
mm-hmm,
and you take them. And then at that point, yeah, I'd probably take Vassell.
Okay.
And then if Vassell were gone,
yeah, who do you like better between Avia and Toppin, right?
Yeah, or in that situation, to be a Kongwu or Denny, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and Toppin would be there too. And I would probably take a Kongwu.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Denny and then Obi. I think
I think it turns out our podcast is very low on Denny.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that Denny compared to Okoro, like on this one, I did put Denny above him because I feel like both of them, you're reliant on the shot coming around. And I feel like if the shot were to work out for one of them, that actually, is Denny better if the shot works out?
Denny is, well, the shot is a higher ceiling, right? So like Okoro, the shot working out for Okoro means like 34%.
Right.
And the shot working out for Denny could be like legit stretch four.
Right. Yeah. 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 I think that you're right. I probably Okoro over Denny. And then, yeah, Toppin's last for me on this list that we have so far.
I agree. And I think to make this more simple, I will go with, like, say you cannot trade out of those spots. Say it's Wiseman, Ball, Edwards are gone, and I cannot trade. I'm going Vassell, Okongwu, Denny, Okoro, Toppin.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going Okongwu, Vassell. You put Denny over Okoro, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I put Okoro first because I feel like you could get more trade value, but right, honestly, that's negligible too.
Yeah, those are pretty neck and neck. Yeah, so yeah, I'd go Okongwu, Vassell. I do, yeah, but when coming into this, I did write Denny and then Okoro and then Toppin. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're pretty close. I think we're pretty much on the same page with a really small disagreement on between Okoro and Vassell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not Okoro.
Okongwu.
Okongwu and Vassell.
Yeah. And yeah, honestly, I mean, you're right. Neither of these guys really are top four level players, especially like considering the amount of money that you're paying them. So if you were put in that position, you do have to strongly consider trading down. And I think that's where it'll get interesting when we get a little bit into the further guys, because if Sacramento were to trade down, you know, how is a Sadiq Bey and Aaron Neesmith, the guys that we'll get to. And like you said, I think for the next ones, I'm good to do Halliburton and Hayes. I know we mentioned Jackson Frank earlier. Jackson Frank has Killian Hayes number one. I think Kevin O'Connor did the same thing. There's a lot of guys really high on Killian Hayes. It'll be interesting to get to those two and throw them in this bunch.
And you know what? Like, the more I think about it, in the spirit of having a King's Pulse consensus, I'm gonna go to your side here and put Okongwu four and Vassell five, because I think that I keep thinking about it, and Rashawn Holmes works great with this team, and he's probably going to be gone after next season. So if you can just replace him with Okongwu, I think that works.
Yeah, for a long while. And weirdly, I mean, you talk about the Bagley thing. It is kind of a Sacramento storyline, is like, how are those two going to fit? Because in a way, like, you kind of have to have Holmes out there for Sacramento to be decent, no?
Yeah, and it's just like, if Bagley fails, he fails, and the team is going to probably struggle for a long time.
Yeah. So
it doesn't really matter the fit at that point. And if he works, then it works. Like, if Bagley works, then that means he can shoot a little bit, means he can defend a little bit, he can play the five a little bit, and then it kind of just works.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense to me, man. I think that's all I got on these guys. I'm super hyped on Onyeka. I'm really interested to see what he ends up doing in the league. But yeah, you're right. I don't, as much as I think that he could be my favorite pick for the Kings, you're right that he's definitely not a number one pick type of guy when you're considering the salary and the value of that number one pick, what people would offer you for it in a trade. But I'm very excited for Onyeka, and he's definitely going to be a guy I'm going to be diving into a little bit more and get interested on. I might end up putting out an article on the comparison between him and Holmes, because I think they are pretty similar and interesting there. But yeah, I think that's all I got on the two here, man.
Yeah, and I think the super secret, the secret about all this discussion is that the Kings should trade down if they move up, and then just take whoever falls to 12. But yeah.
Yeah, I might argue with you on that at four with Onyeka, but we'll, I'll do a little more research here and get back to you. So that is going to do it, man, for this episode of the King's Pulse podcast. Thank you to everybody for listening, and you'll hear from us again in the next couple of days.